Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Exploring EOS podcast. This is JP, and you can find all of our episodes over at exploringeos.com. Today, we are talking about a new solution to fight censorship, among other things, and we're going to be learning all about Novosphere.io. With us today is Asphyxia, who is one of the developers on this project. And Asphyxia, welcome to the Exploring EOS podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me and inviting us on.
Absolutely. Well, I think I learned about you guys through Twitter and just kind of saw that you're doing some stuff trying to build a platform around stopping censorship, and that's a big thing right now. So can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and about your background and how Novosphere came to be?
Sure. So originally, Novosphere branched from a project that was centered on the idea of being able to share videos and content online. And initially, there were some disputes in that project, and it led to me branching off into Novosphere, which was a more generalized version of the project. So whereas that project only look to address video content, Novosphere itself is actually a decentralized database, and that content comes from a blockchain. So Novosphere can be used in different ways to address censorship because applications can be built using this decentralized database. And so an example of one of those applications is we had recently been building EOS Forum, which you can visit at eos-forum.org, which is basically just a Reddit-style forum built using this database. So unlike Reddit, no post can be fully deleted, and moderation is really left up to the user and community instead of being forced on the user, where we see moderation so oftenly abused. And as for myself, I'm just a humble developer who's been in crypto for a while, and I'm looking to contribute back to the community and build meaningful projects that I think help better the community as a whole.
Okay, very cool. Well, I've definitely seen the eos-forum.org and poked around in there. I haven't used it much. How's that going?
It's coming along pretty well. We posted a roadmap for Novosphere overall on Trello. I can shoot you that link. And it also details the breakdown of our current plans for EOS Forum. Mainly, the thing that we are working on right now in terms of EOS Forum is starting to implement some of the moderation aspects of it. So what I mean by moderation aspects of it is, of course, if you have a decentralized forum where anyone can post anything, you're going to have certain spam posts that either they appear in the wrong section or they have nothing to do with what's going on, or it just might be complete gibberish. So you're going to want some tools to like sort of hide these posts or sort of get them out of your way so they're not cluttering up things as you're trying to read through the content. And so outlined in our document, we've described a few ways that we see moderation can be approached, but it doesn't need to be forced upon the user. It's very opt-in moderation.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I've thought about this in terms of like a decentralized platform where moderation could almost be like moderation as a service, where like you opt into a particular moderator or like algorithm or something like that, so that maybe it filters out the stuff that you don't like, but you know, varying levels of moderation and things like that. So I don't know if that's the kind of thing you're talking about, but I've always thought that'd be kind of
cool. Exactly how we see moderation working, where you can self-moderate for yourself. So if you don't like what a user's saying, you can block that user so you're no longer seeing posts or threads by them. Or generally speaking, most users aren't going to want to take up the task of self-moderating. So you can delegate that moderation to a service or an individual or a group of individuals. And so you can sort of copy what their settings are in terms of what they have blocked or who they have blocked and what posts that they filtered. And if at any point in time you feel that, hey, these guys are abusing their power, they're using their power to push an agenda or censor a certain speaker who I think is valuable, you can opt out of that moderation, which is very different than how it works on Reddit. Because to use Reddit as an example, we know that the sub r/Bitcoin is a very controversial sub where you have a big chunk of the community over on another Bitcoin sub r/BTC, which complains and says, hey, the sub is heavily moderated and they feel they're being censored. So it's a very contentious moderation. And Bitcoin itself doesn't really belong to anyone. So does it really make sense that these central bodies that nobody really chose are the ones moderating that sub?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. It was also like just kind of an interesting approach in terms of right now, depending on what site you're on, there's kind of a monopoly on that moderation, right? So if you're on Reddit, there's a monopoly and it's a little bit distributed, right? There are admins and things like that. But ultimately, it's monopolized by Reddit or Facebook or Twitter or whoever owns the platform. So when you decentralize it, then you also decentralize the moderation. So it's not like you're just getting rid of moderation entirely, right? You're distributing it so that there's competition, really.
Yes, exactly. You definitely need moderation because, like I said before, you're going to have spam content one way or another. So you need some way of how you are going to address the spam on the platform. And Reddit itself, aside from the whole moderator aspect of it, sort of has a self-policing mechanism to address what is meaningful content and what isn't. And that's sort of built into their upvote and downvote content system. Because posts that are, you know, valuable or the community thinks is good, you know, should be upvoted, and posts that are, you know, bad should be downvoted. Now, it doesn't always work out that way, but yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So you were saying that Novosphere is a database. Before we get into like all the applications and everything, can you tell us a little bit more about how Novosphere works with EOS and the token and things like that?
Sure. So in terms of how it works, so you have to have a blockchain as the underlying mechanism here, because we know that for an example, one of the things that a blockchain does really, really good is it's censorship resistant. Anytime you introduce a blockchain into your project, you're making a lot of trade-offs here. So you have to have a damn good reason for why you're introducing a blockchain into your project, which I personally think a lot of projects seem to skip over that part. But so the way it works is the data is written to the blockchain. So this data is fairly arbitrary, can be pretty much anything. But this data is written to the blockchain. And then you have a program, which you can sort of think about like, imagine running like a Bitcoin node or an EOS node. It's just another node for another piece of software. This is sort of like a Novosphere node. And what that node does is it will look at the blockchain you're using, so in this case, EOS, and it's going to pull that data from the blockchain and then start constructing a database from that. And because a blockchain provides a sequence to how transactions occurred, because that's how a blockchain addresses the double spending problem, you can also implement state changes into this database. So, for example, balances, like if, you know, one person sends coins to another person. So the overall state of the database is derived from the underlying blockchain itself. Now, that blockchain is fairly agnostic, so it doesn't really matter what blockchain Novosphere uses, but what really made EOS one of the more viable blockchains for us to use is the model how EOS handles transactions, which is you don't pay fees when you make a transaction on EOS. Instead, you're using CPU and net resources. And I think that's very fundamental to giving users a good user experience in terms of using a decentralized application. Because if every time the user needs to do an action on that application, they need to lose a little bit of money, because that's what cryptocurrency is. It's essentially money. So if you need to lose a little bit of money every time you do an action, it feels pretty bad from a user experience standpoint.
Yeah, it disincentivizes people to use it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let me try to say this back to you and make sure I understand it. So you've got EOS as kind of the underlying blockchain. And then above that, you've got Novosphere that's running on the blockchain. And then above that, people will Am I right in saying people will be able to build apps that kind of use this?
Yeah, so that's correct. So you have the EOS blockchain at the very bottom, and then on top of that, you have the Novosphere database layer, and then on top of that, you have decentralized apps using Novosphere. So, for example, EOS Form, and then from that, you then have the users interacting with the decentralized apps.
Okay, very cool. Now, how does the you have a token, right? This is the Atmos token.
Yeah, that's correct.
How does that come into play? How does it work? How does it get distributed? All of that.
So it was distributed, I believe, last year, sometime in March. We ran a crowdfund to get funding to develop the project. It was fairly successful. And since then, it has been trading. Currently, it is trading on an exchange called Cryptopia. But this is the temporary asset of it. We have not moved our asset over to EOS yet, and we are looking to do that fairly soon. So we'll be moving over to EOS as an EOS IO token. So just like all the other tokens that have recently been given out to users. And so the token ties into the platform in a few ways, which is one of the ways that we saw content and the ability to incentivize content to be added to the database or indexed is to have a bounty and judge system. So what that is basically is if you have content that you want added to a certain, let's say, dApp, for example, or the platform, you can create a bounty and say, hey, this is what I'm looking for. And then someone can fill that bounty and receive Atmos for doing that. And then we have a judge system, which you can sort of think about this very similarly to how arbitration works on EOS. And so what the judges do is they help handle the disputes that may occur. So, for example, if two people, Bob and Alice, fulfill a bounty and Bob does it faster than Alice, but Alice is chosen to be the bounty recipient, then Bob can go and make an appeal to the judges and say, hey, I should actually have been the one rewarded with this bounty, not Alice. And then the judges can help facilitate and process that case. So that's one of the uses, though, that we see Atmos being used for. It can be built into apps in a variety of ways on the platform. And just to give you one example of that real quick, is one of the things that we have currently on EOS Form is the EOS Form Anon account, which is an anonymous account that we let people post from instead of them having to post from their own EOS account. And one of the features we were going to look to introduce is if you have a certain amount of Atmos token stake, then you can use this account outside of just the Anon subs where it's currently limited to.
Okay. Interesting. So I had a little trouble following the bounty part. Can you maybe give another example of how that would be used?
Yeah, sure. So just think about this like how, let me give you an example of an existing platform. Have you ever heard of Fiverr?
Fiverr, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so people go on Fiverr all the time and they have some task that they want people to do. So maybe I see crypto coins do this all the time where they'll pay someone to make them a short video or something like that, you know, pay to create content.
Sure.
So for example, you could create a bounty and say, hey, I want this content created and you know, here's the timeline for doing it. And then other people can come in and fulfill that bounty and receive Atmos for fulfilling that bounty.
I see. Okay. So it's, I got you. That's cool. I was actually just saying the other day on Twitter that somebody should create a decentralized Fiverr on crypto because that's a way that people, I think any way that people can kind of get paid in crypto will help drive adoption, particularly, you know, people in developing countries and things like that don't necessarily have a very easy on-ramp. You know, there aren't necessarily exchanges or banking that's set up really well, but it could be a hard sell to say, hey, work for crypto. But if you get over that hurdle then and have good wallet solutions and things like that, it could drive some serious adoption. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's one of the cases that we are working on with the token. Now, given the nature of the project, and as you can tell, I tend to value anonymity a lot. And so one of the things that currently EOS doesn't really address is anonymity on the blockchain. Everything on EOS is actually even more transparent than, let's say, Bitcoin, because in Bitcoin you have pseudo-anonymity because at least you have arbitrary addresses. But on EOS you have accounts, and accounts aren't free. You can't create them arbitrarily. You have to actually spend money every time you create an account. At least that's the way it is right now. So one of the things that we are trying to do with the Atmos token is we are looking to implement a token on EOS which does have anonymity features built into it. And so at this point in time, we are planning on borrowing a lot of the techniques that we've seen applied to anonymity in the cryptocurrency Monero, and looking to build something very similar, but on EOS.
Would that be built into the Atmos token and into Novosphere, or is this kind of a separate project?
Yeah, so what I'm saying is our end goal for how we see the Atmos token, not what it can be used for, but how it works, is we want the Atmos token to be anonymous. We don't want it to be, you know, plain.
I see, yes. Okay. So that's part of the roadmap. With Novosphere working on EOS, is this something where Novosphere will kind of accumulate a bunch of EOS tokens and stake them to run everything? Or is it more like the users of, or the app developers building on top of Novosphere will have to do that, or the end user will have to like have some EOS to run their transactions?
There's a variety of ways this can be implemented. And so just like how EOS gives developers the option to choose their model, Novosphere does the exact same thing. So to give you an example of what I mean, if we take a look at EOS form, when you post using Scatter, you are using your own resources in doing so. So you have to have your own account on EOS. However, so that means you have to have your own staked resources, of course. Now, however, if you choose to post anonymously, then you're actually posting from an EOS form, a non-account. And so this is an account that we have staked resources for. So in this case, we being, you know, the app developer in this case. Mm-hmm. So we have subsidized the user's need for how resources are paid for in this aspect. So for some things in terms of Novosphere, we may need to stake some EOS for users, and in other aspects, users may need to have their own EOS staked.
Okay, cool. So it's pretty flexible in that way. Can you explain a little bit more about what it means to be like a database on top of EOS? Because conceptually to me, and I'm not a developer, so maybe this is really obvious and I'm just missing something, but conceptually to me, it seems like you could do at least some of the same stuff with EOS directly using RAM and things like that. So what's kind of the difference here, or what's added with Novosphere that makes this helpful in solving these sorts of problems?
So doing things with RAM is very expensive. And so you always want to carefully pick and choose what exactly you're putting into RAM, because there's a high cost associated with that. And even when sidechains get introduced, there's still going to be a cost associated with that. Now, if you limit the actions that you're doing to just things that relate to CPU and net, then you are using a resource that is renewable, because we know that CPU and net get restored back to a user as time passes, whereas RAM, once it's consumed, it's pretty much gone until you free up that RAM. So writing data to Novosphere, the database, does not actually take up any RAM from a user. Instead, it just only consumes their CPU and net resources. So you can build these off-chain applications that they don't utilize RAM, but they still maintain the same censorship resistance that a blockchain provides.
Okay, so is it kind of taking the RAM sort of off-chain almost?
Yeah, exactly. So just to give you an example that's very easy to follow. So imagine, you know, when you send a transaction, you can have a memo associated with that transaction. So when you have that memo isn't stored anywhere in RAM. It's just stored on the disk of the block producers and the block explorers. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now What if you, for example, take a look at a specific account's memos and you start logging all those memos into a database and ordering them and building a sort of state based on those memos? So to give you an example of a state, let's say you did a transaction and included an IP address in that transaction, or a status, let's say, you know, like a status on, like, you know, hey guys, you know, I'm doing great today.
Sure.
So that could be your status. And every time you did another transaction that, you know, had the status in it, it updated that state in the database. So you can derive a database state just from looking at the memos of an account. So this works very similarly, where just by looking at the raw data on the blockchain instead of what's stored in RAM, you can derive a state.
Okay. So then what happens if your, you know, memo or the data you want to store in the database is something larger, like a video or something like that?
So what this boils down to is, do you have the CPU and net necessary to write that to the EOS blockchain? If you do, then technically speaking, you can write it to the Novosphere database, because really that's the resource that you're consuming is CPU and RAM.
Okay. Interesting.
So it is possible to store large content, but it's going to consume large amounts of EOS, just because, I mean, at the same time, you're also storing that content on the EOS blockchain itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I had assumed that there was some kind of limit to the amount of data that you could store specifically on chain until you go to...
Yeah. Generally speaking, I mean, we don't see people using it to store large files. I mean, even if we look at... for example, maybe you've heard of this project. There was a project on EOS launched a while back called EOS File Store. Even EOS File Store doesn't look to really address storing very large files on-chain. Instead, it doesn't really make sense to use a blockchain for that. Right. But instead, what makes more sense is to have that file be on something like IPFS, where you can get a reference to that file as an IPFS hash and then write the IPFS hash to the blockchain.
I see. Okay. So then it's like pointing to where the file is, basically.
Exactly.
Okay. So then does that mean that Novosphere is, you're kind of going to be storing files for IP, like have your own IPFS storage system, or is it going to be through the EOS? I know they're eventually planning to add something like that. How does that work?
So if you go back to the example I just gave you, it's not obvious at first glance, but how the file is stored is actually agnostic. It doesn't really matter how the file is stored. So in the example, okay, I gave you, you're storing the IPFS hash and then you're writing the IPFS hash to Novosphere database. But in fact, you could use any file storage mechanism. You could even use traditional web, for example, and you could store an HTTP link or a reference to another blockchain that maybe deals with this. Or I don't know how the EOS, you know, native file system is going to work, since I don't think full documentation on that is out yet. But you could store a reference, and then really what it boils down to is then your interface, the DAP, making use of that information to then present that to a user in a way that they can use it. So, for example, if it's a link, to actual content, then okay, that's very easy. That integrates very seamlessly with web. If it's IPFS, okay, that's still not too bad, because integrating it with web is as easy as just using the, you know, gateway.ipfs.io/ipfs. But if it's something else, then you might need to implement sort of a custom solution there. But it doesn't really matter too much how the file is stored. You're just storing a reference pointer to it.
Okay. So I'm just trying to understand exactly how this works. So like if you're using IPFS, then that is less censorship resistant, presumably, than like just using the web, like a HTTP link or something like that to the file.
I think it's the other way around. Oh. Or maybe you have things mixed up, because okay, if you're storing just a link to the file, and you know, let's say that link is, you know, on the blockchain, because obviously that's where it comes from to get into the database. Well, that link can still go down. For example, a domain can be seized.
Right.
But if you're storing an IPFS hash on the blockchain and you yourself are seeding that IPFS file, so while you might go down and stop seeding that file on IPFS, other people might have picked up that file and have started seeding it. So as long as there's at least one person seeding that file on IPFS, people will still be able to access it.
Okay. Yeah. That, sorry. That's what I meant. That. Okay, cool. Very cool. Okay, great. Well, this is a very interesting project. And is there anything else or like future applications or things like that that you'd like to share of kind of what the future of Novosphere looks like?
Yeah, so let me think about that real fast here. Let me actually just pull up our roadmap and see if there's anything clear I should go over.
Sure.
So I've told you about the anonymity aspect of the token that we're working on. I've mentioned the fact that currently we're on a temporary blockchain and we are looking to move over to EOS as an EOS token. You already know about EOSform, which is one of the decentralized applications we're building, and that's essentially built as a demo of how a decentralized app works. And we already see a variety of use cases being used, Novosphere being used for, because really at the end of the day, you can use it in place of any form of traditional database. So I think in any application that can benefit from censorship resistance, using Novosphere is a good way to go here.
Okay, cool. Well, I definitely like the concept and the idea that you could do this sort of bounty and judge thing. And is there any other kind of level of governance built into this, or is it mostly just the arbitration judge bounty system, or is there more to it than that?
So in terms of governance, I mean, if you think about it, the way EOS works as well is they're working on a referendum voting page, which we've also tried to help contribute to that. I don't know if you've seen the link for our page. I can share that with you after the meeting. And the way it sort of works on EOS is you create a proposal, you have people vote on it, and if people agree with it, then the proposal is passed. And even though a proposal is passed, it's still at the end of the day, it's up to humans to sort of implement that proposal and make those changes to the blockchain. It's not like this is done autonomously. So I sort of follow the same system in terms of Novosphere, which is anytime there's anything controversial in terms of development or the community feels a certain way about a topic, you can create a proposal and then you can have the Atmos holders vote on that. So one of the things that we recently voted on was in fact moving the project and developing on EOS.
Okay, cool. Very nice. Well, I appreciate you coming on today and telling us all about Novosphere. Is there anything else before we close out this episode that you'd like to share?
I think that's about it. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to listen to this. If you have any questions yourself and you want to learn more about our project, you can check out our main website. Join us on Discord. We have weekly meetings every week on Mondays, so feel free to come out, ask questions, and we're more than happy to help answer. And our community is very welcoming. So thank you for giving us this interview opportunity.
Absolutely. No problem. Appreciate it, and love to have you back on down the road when as the roadmap continues to develop and progress. And everybody can go over to novosphere.io. We'll have that and other, you know, the Discord and other things linked up in the show notes at exploringeos.com. And that's it for today's episode. Please take a moment to leave us a rating and review on your podcast app of choice, and let me know what kind of guests you'd like to hear from in the future. Also, reviews really help us spread the word about EOS and get the podcast bumped up in the podcast app, and hopefully that'll get more people using EOS. So thanks again for exploring EOS with me today. The content of the Exploring EOS show, videos, and website are for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, legal, or professional advice of any kind. You should not take action on any information provided without first consulting a professional advisor and doing your own due diligence. Investing in cryptocurrencies is risky. Please seek professional help.